You told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that's because there's tremendous blessing in being together. Lord, you bless our lives in so many measurable and amazing ways, and we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we come to worship you and to say on the morning of the first day of the week, you're first, you're foremost. And we want to honor you with all of our hearts and help us to do that, we pray. Thanks, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's worship.
Show us your glory, Lord. And I wanna see you, so show us your glory.
weapon, it silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and reclaim your victory. Let it rise. shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forever.
Say it with me, worthy. As we sang that, my mind went to the Revelation chapters 4 and 5, where all of us are gathered at the throne, crying out, worthy. Today's just a warm-up for that day. Let's sing, worthy. Worthy. Come on, say it with me, worthy. Yes, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. To Him be glory and honor. for by his word all things were created, and by his word, hallelujah, all things are held together. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you to receive glory and honor and praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's worthy. Imagine that, standing there with what John said was an innumerable number of people of all generations and all nations gathered there to worship him who is worthy. I hope every one of us are in that number. Hallelujah. And all of our family and all of our friends. May it be so. Hallelujah. Remain standing with me for just a moment. Take this little half sheet in your hand. Started something last month. We're praying for one of the 19 or 20 submarines that are out on waterfront. We prayed for the USS Virginia last month. In June, we're praying for the San Juan. And I've asked Al Clark if he'd come, senior chief select. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great thing? Yeah. We commend him. But he's going to lead us in prayer. And I want you to just hold this in your hand. Take it home. Use that. Pray for our military magnet. Put it on your refrigerator or somewhere. And let's pray for the men and their families that are attached to this boat. Amen. Just pray. They'll get it. It's on.
It's on? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. How are you guys doing today? So we'll go right into prayer here, right? So, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning, Lord. We thank you for the breath in our lungs, Lord. So because of our faith in you, we boldly and confidently come before you and declare a hedge of protection over the crew of the USS San Juan. Allow her crew to safely pass through the waters of the deep and make it back to home, to their spouses, to their children. I declare peace over each person aboard as they deal with the harsh realities of this world. Help them to stay steadfast in the face of danger and allow them to overcome it. As Psalms 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is the enemy and my foes who will stumble and fall. Let your spirit be present to all those aboard, make it clear, Lord, that your light is with them, even in the darkest places. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen."
Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. Thanks, Al. Go ahead, friends. You may be seated. Amen. Don't let this just become a one-time thing. Let's make sure that we continue to pray. Thanks to Chris for preparing those. We appreciate that so very, very much. If you're visiting with us today, it's great to have you here. I feel a little, I don't have Chris today, and I don't have Rolando for some reason. Chris is out in the woods with the other 24. There are 25 men and boys that are not here today because they're at the Ranger work day all weekend there. So we certainly miss them. I hope you saw a picture of them on one of our Facebook pages. But if you're visiting today, it's great to have you here. In a moment, we'll welcome you by applauding. That's kind of what we do around here. But we'd love for you to connect and not just come, but just connect, because we really don't think that you came here by accident. And there are lots of easy ways to connect. But the two simplest ways to connect are to send the word welcome to the number on the bottom of the screen behind me. You can do that. Or you can take your phone camera and aim it at the QR code in the seat there in front of you. And that will take you to a landing page, and that will give you some options. And one of them is to download the Church Center app, and that'll really keep you connected with things. If you don't have the app on your phone, that's the easiest way to stay connected and find out what's going on around here. So I hope that you'll do that. If you're here today for the first time, we welcome you by applauding for you. So welcome. It's great to have you here. Great to have you here. And I will do my best to get over by the cafe at the end of the service to greet you and talk to you. Sometimes I don't get past the front of this platform, but I'll do my best to be over there with you today. Hallelujah. it's a privilege, it's an honor to give to the Lord. It's not some kind of just thing you have to do. Look at what it says here. Give away your life and you'll find life given back. How about that? Look at that. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Who doesn't like a bonus and a blessing? Right? Wow. Giving, not getting is the way. Generosity begets generosity. You know what? When you give to God, God gives back. And I like to say, his pockets are deeper than yours. Amen. When God gives back, he gives back more than what you've given. That's one of the reasons why I believe in tithing, and I'm not embarrassed to talk about it. I believe in tithing. I believe in generosity because I know from 50 years experience, God returns it bountifully in so many ways. Amen? Amen. Step in and try it if you haven't. If you're visiting today, there's no pressure to give. Receive the services, our gift to you. Hallelujah. So there's a bunch of things that we're getting ready to do right now. I'm going to give you some real quick opportunities, and Lindsay's going to share one with you too as well. So Wednesday's going to be fun. We continue the series. Those of you in Hebrews, Adam is taking you through Hebrews, and the laws of spiritual power will continue with Chris. He's going to do a session called, you know, Use Humor to Connect and Disarm. That should be fun. You know, okay. Also, a special missionary guest, somebody that Debbie and I have known for 40 years, Denny Seller, will be here. If you want to find out what your God-given purpose is, how you can serve the Lord, how your spiritual gifts interact with your personality, come to Engage tonight. You need to sign up for that right away, though, so we know you're coming. Tomorrow night is the first of Motorcycle Mondays, and Randy's going to lead the charge on that. So that sounds like fun. The Moms Gathering, June 7th, the Playground Splash Pad. That sounds like fun. Wow. Outdoor Movie Night with Super Mario. That's this Friday night. This is kind of an outreach. It's just a simple blessing to our military community. But you know, guess what? Yes, we still need lots of volunteers. We only have 4 at this point. Use the app to sign up because that would be a big help as we just go. We're going to show this thing on a 33-foot outdoor screen. And so it's going to be a big deal. We're even bringing in a professional sound guy to help us set up the sound. So it's going to be well done. And so I hope that you'll be part of that. But we need you to help us. All right? And if you've never gone public with your faith, here's a great opportunity. Be baptized in water. Now, we have something else. And so Lindsay, come and talk to us about this, the opportunity to...
Good morning, Seaport. There we go. Good morning. I'm Lindsay Strand, and I'm here representing our youth this morning. I have an exciting announcement on behalf of them. Ignite is getting ready to host their very first bake auction to raise money to help kids go to summer camp. Why should we get behind sending kids to summer camp? It's not just a good time or a week off for mom and dad, but when kids go to SNEM and summer camps, they create lasting memories. They build lifelong friendships, and most importantly, they participate in nightly worship services. Some kids come back with a call to ministry, many receive the Holy Spirit, and most come home with a renewed passion for Christ. So, how can you get involved in this great cause? We need you to bring your favorite baked goods to be auctioned on Father's Day. Not a baker? That's okay. You can stay after service on June 18th and bid on your favorite confections and conveniently take them home to share with your friends and family as you celebrate Dad. If you're interested in bringing a baked item, please sign up with me today in the narthex after service. I'll be easy to find in the orange pants. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Lindsay. That's great. That's great. 100% of the proceeds go back to helping kids in this church go to camp. Isn't that great? But what's not great is saying goodbye to the Shoemates. And they're here. Are you here, Jonathan? Bethany, you're here. Come on. And the whole family's here. Come on up here and join me on the platform. And I'm going to ask any of the deacons that are here, if you'd come up here too. These guys have now completed their second tour of duty at Seaport. And they were here once. A picture just came up not long ago of you guys when we said goodbye to you a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago now. And now you've been with us, and now you're leaving us again. You could give me a complex. You keep leaving. But, you know. But these guys are leaving us, and you're going to a dreadful place. Where is that?
Key West, Florida.
Dreadful. Terrible. You'd have to go there. But anyway, we're going to miss you. Thank you. Jonathan, I know that the Rangers are missing you out there this weekend. We know that. And Bethany, thank you for how you helped to decorate this place for Christmas. Thank you. We're going to miss all of you. And we're going to pray for you. I know that Matt is he's out in the woods, and Andy is with the kids, I think. But we're going to pray and pray your blessing upon you. But is there anything you'd like to share with us as we say goodbye to you guys again?
Yes, we want to say, first of all, thank you to you, Pastor, Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie, and the church leadership here, everybody in leadership. You have really tremendously blessed our family. Our kids, Pastor, you have the honor of dedicating 3 of our 4 children to the Lord, which is a meaningful event and moment and has an eternal impact on them and our lives. And so that has been a blessing to us. And, you know, I've been in ministry and going to church 9 months before I was born. I started going to church. And and I've had probably, I started counting this morning, probably somewhere between 20 to 25 different pastors in my life, traveling all over the country, all over the world, chaplains, pastors, ministers. And Seaport, you are blessed to have Pastor Brad and Pastor Debbie. He is one of the best. And thank God to Pastor Squibb in International Christian Center in Staten Island, who recommended you to us. Because the moment we set foot here, we knew this was the right place because this was a church of outreach, and we saw people's lives getting transformed here. People who needed Jesus, people that Jesus came for. And you read the scriptures, he didn't hang out with all the fancy, rich, you know, well-to-do religious folks. Who did he hang out with? The people that needed Jesus, the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, those who were in prison and in bondage. And that's what this church does, reaching out. All the motorcycle outreach events that you guys do, all of the community events, you know, working with people who really are in desperate need of help and more importantly, a Savior. So this is a fantastic church. So if you're here, stay here, get involved, just like we have done. And thank you. Thank you for being such a blessing to us. Bethany, would you like to say anything?
I want to thank all the volunteers who've invested in the lives of our children. That's huge. We have a lot of change that comes to us often. But to provide the stability, the familiar face, and the biblical foundation and the good leadership. Miss Heather, Miss Gina, thank you. The nursery workers who had our babies when they were tiny, thank you. Miss Stacy for leading the nursery, where are you? Thank you. That's all, thank you.
And thanks to all the Rangers. That's the last thing I'll say. I wish I could be with the Rangers right now. They're out camping, but thanks to all those in ministry, especially Matt Strand, for being an amazing leader and outpost commander. And Matt and Lindsay have been fantastic in helping with that ministry. So it has been a huge part of my life and our children's lives. So thanks for that. That's all.
Let me pray for you guys and bless you. Just Seaport was created, designed, planted 35 years ago to be a home away from home for our military. And to say, this is not a church you can come to when you're here. This is a church that was created for you. And it's a big difference there. And you guys have been a good investment to this place. We're grateful to all of you. Let me pray now. Join with me as we pray. Father, thank you. The Shoemate family, thank you. Lord, you've loaned them to us twice. And I would be okay the third time, but we'll leave that with you. Lord, I know that in God and traveling and setting up, God, in a very different climate now, Lord, there's all kinds of changes that come with that. Help them to make the necessary adjustments, to find the church, God, that God is just right for what you want to do in them and through them. Lord, there's lots of details whenever a military family moves that have got to be taken care of. Help them to execute all of those. God, may there be not, Lord, I've heard so many crazy stories of snafus that happen. May there none of those take place. God, may it be smooth and easy, we pray. And God, may the kids make a great adjustment to a different climate, a different place. And Lord, they're saying goodbye to their friends too, and that's hard. Help them to make new friends, we pray. And Lord, we just bless them as they go, and we thank you for their lives and the investment they've made here. God, be glorified through them, we pray. Amen. 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 A few Cheerios that hit the floor over here. Sorry, it's okay. Blessings on you guys. Thank you so very, very much. Thank you. Amen. We are going to miss you. Amen. I don't know how many smashed Cheerios and goldfish get vacuumed up in the sanctuary. A lot of them, but anyway. This morning, I'm going to induct into membership Donna Marino. Donna, would you come stand up here beside me, Donna, if you would do that. Membership at Seaport is more than just putting your name on the roll. It does require a lot of work. There's a course you have to go to, a one-day seminar you have to go to. People are not, they don't select to be involved in membership. They are selected, and then they go through the process. There's applications to be filled out. There is a final step of approval that our deacons approve. They look over every application and make an approval. And so Donna has met all those requirements today. And she is standing before you, ready to step into membership. Membership at Seaport is significant in the sense that only members can speak at the annual business meeting. Only members can vote on significant decisions that the church makes about significant purchases or sales. And only members have a vote and a say when it comes to the selection of what will soon be, in the years ahead, a new senior pastor. And so it's a significant role that they have. And I have no plans to go anywhere, but, you know, it will come eventually. And so they have a significant role, and Donna has met all the criteria. And so, Donna, my simple question to you is, you know, you've met all the requirements, but today are you publicly making a commitment to fulfill all the requirements of membership and to do your part in fulfilling the unique role the Seaport has in advancing the cause of Christ around the world? If that's your heart, please say, I do.
I do.
Hallelujah. Here's a certificate of membership, and I'm going to give this to you and congratulate you, and I'm going to pray for you and say thank you. Hallelujah. And so let me pray right now. Lord, thank you for Donna. Thank you, Lord. Her heart is to serve God. It's been exciting just to watch, Lord, her growth and her transformation and the development in her life. God, she's gone from somebody that knows about you, being a religious person, to being a true follower of Jesus. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you for how well she serves this church, and may she continue to grow in every way. And she takes on this new role, Lord, may she execute it well. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Congratulations. Give her another round of applause if you do that. Amen. 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 There's a lot happening around here, but I guess there's a reason why Rolando and Bree aren't here, and I guess this would be the reason. There's the reason right there. everybody's fine. It has a beautiful little boy, and that's great, isn't it? I'm going to just go ahead and dismiss our youth right now. You're going to go out with Jessica. Rolando's not here, but Jessica's ready to go. She's got a great discussion plan for all of the youth. You're heading out to the fellowship hall. Go out this door and to the right, out to the fellowship hall. And if you're a teenager and you're new here, you can hang here or join them, whatever you'd like to do. Okay? Hallelujah. We're continuing the series, Adam, why don't you come? We're continuing the series called Commission. We're looking at the 40 commands of Jesus. And yes, Jesus issued commands. You know that, right? They were not suggestions or good ideas. They were commands from Jesus. And so we've been looking at these. And so today, Adam is going to take us into the next one. And this should be interesting. Adam?
Good morning, church. Now I know we've already been through an emotional roller coaster, saying goodbye, the sadness of saying goodbye to the shoemates. And every time Jonathan gets up here, I always think to myself, man, he's far more articulate than I am. He is gifted in that way. And then the joy of bringing Donna on to membership. So we're already up and down, and now you got me. And man, we are in for it. I am sad that a lot of the men aren't here this morning, though. So I kind of know some of them that aren't here are hunters, so... They'll watch it online, I'm sure. You'll notice that self-righteous people very often use this phrase, and I hate it, but they use it all the time. They say, we want to be on the right side of history on this issue. Now, I hate to tell you, but people who are truly on the right side of history are often the first people to die. Especially when they make their point of view known boldly. They're often the first people to be silenced or shouted down. They get called things like racist, sexist, bigots, homophobes, transphobes, science deniers, conspiracy theorists. Turns out it's a lot easier to yell off with his head than it is to have a cogent argument. Look what they did to John the Baptist, after all. Good prophets don't go along to get along. Good teachers don't skip hard texts. Good leaders don't stay silent in the face of evil in order to avoid future retribution. That makes you ineffectual for the kingdom of God. That's burying your talent in the dirt, and that leads to weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus called this out, right? He said, oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets and stones those who are sent to it, your house is left to you desolate. The earth, the world today, it exalts the smooth-talking, silver-tongued devil over the person whose truth takes a coarse grit sandpaper to the bubble of our safe spaces. Celebrity preachers with $1,000 sneakers, finely tailored suits. The worst of them are the ones that wear them at the same time. That's just gross. And you'll notice I didn't say pastor. Pastors are shepherds. Pastors are shepherds, and there are so many faithful men out there pastoring that we will never know because they don't have a big YouTube following. They don't get on to the conference circuit, but they are continually week after week, day after day, shepherding their people well, seeing them grow in holiness and grow in their walk with God. And we don't know them now, but we will meet them one day in heaven. Shepherds kill wolves. They don't pet them, that leaves your house desolate. I'd be willing to bet that there is no one in Scripture that God has more wrath towards than the false prophet and the false teacher. One who takes his name in vain, bears false witness to God's word, covets his glory and praise, stealing the truth from his neighbor, murdering them as they set their souls astray. Jesus commands that we be wary of false prophets and false teachers. Tells us not to be fooled by their veneer of niceness and their smooth words. So if you brought your Bibles with you, and I hope you did. No, I know you did. Don't make me out to be foolish. Matthew 7 is where we will be hanging out this morning. Matthew 7, I will be reading from verse 15 to verse 23, which includes the scariest passage in Scripture. So if I haven't taken enough big swings already, just wait. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Be aware. False prophets are on the prowl. They are dangerous and they are cunning. And this is a command to beware of them. This is not a suggestion from our Lord and Savior, because there is real danger in letting wolves in. I don't think we give proper weight to the wolf in sheep's clothing metaphor anymore. It's been shown to us so many times in a goofy fashion in cartoons and things. And we don't give it the reverence it deserves, because, you know, the sheep or the wolves that wear the sheep's clothing, they didn't buy that sheep's clothing on Amazon. They got that sheep's clothing by killing a sheep, gutting it so they could wear it as camouflage. But that's not where the ruse ends. See, just looking like a sheep will get you through the door, but you'll still get noticed pretty quickly. No, you have to learn how the sheep talk. You have to learn how the sheep act in order to really get embedded. So yeah, they come in with their John 3:16 t-shirt, and they speak fluent Christianese. Well, how are you this morning, brother? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. The men get their handshake. The women get their side hugs so that they don't seem too familiar. And this gets them in the door. It allows them to embed themselves. And people think, well, he looks like us. He talks like us. Look, he didn't even hug my wife facing forward. So they get superficially vetted. And they do that so they can start separating certain sheep away from the shepherd so that they can devour them in peace. And then they lead people down the path to hell while exploiting them for sex and money and power. And even if the wolf doesn't destroy the sheep, if a wolf sits among the congregation for too long, if the shepherd is lax in his duties of getting rid of that wolf, damage is still done to the sheep. They become wounded. They become traumatized, fearful, and suspicious. They can't believe when the wolf is finally excised from them. They can't believe that they were taken in by such a charlatan. They become ashamed. And that's just if the wolf is here for too long. Let alone what happens if the wolf is actually able to cause a church split or take some sheep away from the shepherd entirely. See, Christ's church can't operate in those conditions. On the other hand, though, if the shepherd follows the commands of Christ and follows them swiftly, good can come of it. If a wolf is killed quickly and without prejudice, before he can start separating the sheep away from the flock, well, then the sheep come to trust the shepherd all the more. They start to grow in discernment because they've seen what happens when wolves come along in there. They start to draw together for safety and for assurance and support. So it's not only necessary that we rid ourselves of wolves amongst the sheep, but it's necessary and it's beneficial that we do so quickly. Peter and Jude refer to false prophets and teachers as irrational or unreasoning animals. The Apostle Paul says that their God is their belly or their appetites. False prophets are ravenous for followers. They need attention and glory. Now, they don't have a theological framework for their desires. They don't have any reasoning beyond what their gut tells them that they hunger for. And in fact, many people who leave false churches or cults, whenever they brought to the leadership scripture to say, I really don't think that what we're doing here is correct. They're not given a theological reason for why it's being done in a certain way. They're told things like, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Now, you might go, well, that's a biblical thing. Yeah, it doesn't mean what they think it means. That is not a reasoned response. That is a growl and a snapping of jaws from a wolf who feels threatened by Scripture. That's not how true prophets act. True prophets are the sheep in the flock that have horns, the ones that knock the flock back into line. And it's an uncomfortable process, truly, but it doesn't cause any lasting scars. Wolves keep sheep in line with claws and teeth that leave scars that wound the flock and cause them to continually live in fear. A bump from the horn of a prophet will just put you back in line. It may bruise your ego, but you'll get better. Because true prophets, they have a tendency to be blunt, maybe even harsh at times. You guys think I have an edge to me? You're not reading enough Ezekiel. because Ezekiel said some things to Israel that make even me blush. True prophets say what God has said, not what garners applause. They don't speak peace where there is no peace. They don't say good things are on the horizon when everybody's marching in the wrong direction. False prophets offer nothing but upside. They preach health, wealth, and your best life now for only a small fee. They tell you that you're David and your mortgage is Goliath. They tell you that you're Daniel and your sickness is the lions. And they have to hold back the hiss of the serpent behind their teeth as they preach it. They tell you, if you only have enough faith or give enough money, you'll never want for anything. You'll notice they never tell you, you're Job. And when everything is taken from you, God will then rebuke you for thinking you know better because of your faith and your good works. They never tell you that you're Moses, and after 40 years of dealing with the threats and the complaints of an entire nation, you won't get to see the fruit of your labor in this world because you disobeyed one of God's commandments in anger against those people. They never tell you that you're the Apostle Paul, of whom God said, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit, not by how much they can hype up a crowd, not by how many people listen to their podcasts and their sermons, not by how many people donate to their ministry. But how are their kids doing? What does their marriage look like? How do they counsel? Is their church that they are supposed to be shepherding, are they growing in holiness, if not in number? Or are the fruits of their ministry nothing but worldly and material? Do they fly private to their speaking engagements? Will the corporate press speak to them at all? The surest sign that the fruit is rotten is if the world likes the taste of it. But to be fair, Jesus said that it's not always going to be this cut and dry. Some wolves have better sheep costumes than others. Some fruit looks really good until you take a bite into it. He knew some would prophesy in his name, cast out demons in his name, do mighty works in his name. He says in Matthew 24, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. The false and the demonic are not without their power. Pharaoh's sorcerers were able to duplicate some of God's works. Your works can't guarantee your salvation, and your works don't mean you're sent of God either. But the book of James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh, I roped you all in. The Apostle Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. How many angels of light are you testing? Because Satan isn't stupid. Demons aren't stupid. Wolves aren't stupid. They're cunning. They're crafty. They don't use brute force. They wander around and get themselves inside, and they hide their fangs long enough for you to get comfortable enough to show them your throat. They hang around in the flock and bleat like sheep long enough to get embedded so that they can howl. So how's your discernment? Because this is what spiritual warfare looks like in the real world. So how many angels of light are you asking about Christ Jesus? His power, his dominion, his rule, his reign. Are you asking the angels of light if they believe that Jesus is God made flesh, 100% God, 100% man, ever existent with the Father, but born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and died a sacrificial death, and rose from the dead 3 days later to defeat sin, death, and hell? Do they affirm and glorify God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? That they are three persons, but one God, all 100% God and eternally coexistent within the Godhead. Now, before I get out over my skis, which I probably already did, I'm not saying this to make us skeptical of one another. I'm not saying that we have to have a quiz at the ready for every angel that visits us or for the people that we share fellowship with here or around our table or whatever wherever we may share fellowship. What I am saying is that doctrine matters. Because there are a lot of really big churches out there with charismatic leaders who are very shaky on who Christ is. Churches that see the miraculous that won't call out sin. People who proclaim a Christ that looks nothing like the one who is in Scripture. And you get swept up in the miracles and the bold prophecies and the promises of God's blessing. And then they raise one hand to heaven, and with the other hand, they pick your pocket and push you down a path to hell. They designed it that way. It's a distraction. Check everything by Scripture. Be Berean. These are the guys that checked the Apostle Paul's work. Apostle Paul came in and started preaching, and they went, all right, I'm going to check on that. And they pored over the Old Testament scriptures to make sure that the Christ that Paul was preaching was actually sent of God. If you're not reading your Bible, you have no discernment. That's where it comes from. Read John 16, 7 through 15, Luke 12, 8 through 12. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is what is done by reading the Scripture diligently, by meditating upon God's Word, by applying it to our lives. This is why we read the Bible from cover to cover, over and over. If you know, you know. If we don't know what we believe, and more than that, why we believe it, then we'll be taken in by anyone with a healing ministry. Or who can preach a slick sermon, or maybe even speak in tongues. I've heard plenty of preachers that sound more like rappers than men of God. And they do it by design, to bring in the young, hip crowd, to make people think they're cool and they're relevant. And I've heard some Christian hip-hop artists with better doctrine than some preachers. My daughter's a big fan of Christian hip-hop. I'm not an aficionado myself. Shocker, I know. But I do hear a lot of it because she does listen to it sometimes in the car and around the house. And I've been taken in by this verse from the song Church Clap. And the youth are all gone, so I don't know. Maybe we don't know this one as well. But I think that this verse really kind of hits home what we need versus what we have going in the church culture in America today. So here we go. The second verse from Church Clap. The Son glorified, sin mortified, the Holy Spirit going where the truth ain't watered down. Now, I understand that that's not exactly a great rhyme, but, you know, still good. It's sound doctrine, Spurgeon and Calvin. Nothing wrong with singing loud, but that's not where our power's found. For too long, church has been clapping at weak sermons, leaving the weak hurt. No one's changed by Sunday service. We need discernment. Check what you be affirming. I know, I sound like a real square, but this is important. Because a church can be full of members, but empty in conversions. Preach the gospel and stand back. Look for changed lives, not hand claps. Love people well, they can't stand that. The church is just the church when the word is where we stand at. Give me that God Almighty, that good old gospel. That old school doctrine. Give me that truth for the body. Ain't nothing new about it, but it's still full of power. That'll preach. Doctrine and theology is not boring. Some people make it that way, but it's not. It's not unimportant either. How are we supposed to? Everybody's like, well, we just got to love people. How are we supposed to know how to love people well if we don't have a doctrine of what love actually is? Doctrine and a knowledge of God is where our power is. Our doctrine and the goodness of who our God is the reason we sing loud. It's the reason we raise our hands to heaven, not just because we like those four chords in a row. We worship, we praise God for who he is. We follow God and not man, because the inverse leads to destruction. The Apostle Peter warned of it in 2 Peter 2. He said, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. There they are, dressed like sheep, living amongst the sheep, who will secretly bring false and destructive doctrines, destructive heresies, false doctrine leads to false faith. And false faith cannot save you. Do you hear me? Even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. Sensuality here basically just means outrageous or shocking sort of conduct. And you see this. You've seen the preacher clips where they say things and you go, ooh, that's a little bit edgy. That seems a little bit too much like the world to me. They shouldn't be saying those sorts of things from the pulpit. See, that's discernment, because they do that in order to bring people in, to put people in the seats that wouldn't otherwise like Jesus. But people who actually profess true Christ go, hey, that conduct does not comport with who Christ actually is. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, this doesn't mean that people will dislike Christ because of these false teachers. It doesn't mean they will hate Christ because of these false teachers. It means that they will love a false Christ because of these teachers. They will love a Christ who is no Christ at all, and they will hate the people who follow after a Christ that is biblical and a Christ who comes from Scripture. You ever notice it's a lot harder to try to convince someone who has faith in a false Christ that they're going to hell than someone who has no faith in God at all? It's been that way for me. And their greed, they will exploit you with false words, a prosperity gospel that is no gospel at all. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. Not convinced? Okay, good, because I got more. Actually, Jude has more. Jude says, these are hidden reefs at your love feasts. All you people with boats out there, what do hidden reefs do? They sink ships. You don't see them coming, and all of a sudden you've got a giant hole in your hull. And what Jude means by love feast here is actual fellowship between believers, meeting of believers, things like the Lord's Supper. And they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves. This is a reference to Ezekiel 34, 1 through 12. That is a potent section of Scripture. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10, rather. They are waterless clouds swept along by winds. They look like they're bringing a refreshing rain when they come in. They look like they have something that would cause the congregation to grow and to flourish, but they're moved along by these trends and these hip new things, and they give nothing of value as they pass through. Fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame. Wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. I don't think it gets more serious than that. Jesus said that every tree that bears bad fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptist said that the axe has already been laid at the root of the tree. Jesus commands us not to get too close to these false prophets, not to get too close to these trees with bad fruit, because we don't want to get engulfed in the same fire that they will be engulfed in. We mark and avoid false prophets and false teachers. Don't think to yourself, well, I can do this. I can eat the meat and spit out the bones. Don't do that, because you will choke. Please. Trust what God has already said in His Word. He's given us all we need. He's given us all. And he's not only has he given us all we need, but he has given us the promise that he will draw near to us as we draw near to him. He will hold us close. He has given us assurance of that. He's given us all we need for instruction, for conviction, for correction, for righteous living, so that we may be fully equipped to live blameless before him. This doesn't separate us by any means. That's what the church was very afraid of when they started printing Bibles. They were afraid, well, nobody's going to need the church anymore because they're just going to have their own Bible and they're going to go off and go their own way and they need some. That is not what I'm calling for here. This does not atomize us in any way. We should not, don't hear this message and go, well, I'm not going with the flock anymore. I'm going to just huddle up with my Bible, just me and God. Don't do that. That is not what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. The Word of God holds us together. It binds us here in this room this morning. Those that are online this morning, it holds us together because we have the same foundation. We have a word that holds us together so that we have a standard. So when we see our brother or sister starting to stray a little bit to one side, we can go, hey, God's word says this. Come on back. Come on back to what God's word says. That's what's good. It allows you to hold me accountable for what I say up here. My slides are pretty boring. I understand that. Mostly just scripture on them. But it's because I want you to know that what I'm saying is based on what God has already said. And I don't want you to allow me back up here if I ever stray from that. We have all the tools we need for discernment. All the tools we need to maintain community with one another. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live as God has said. He empowers us to read God's word, understand how we are to apply it to our lives, and empowers us to live it out. We have to trust God. We have to trust God to guide us. Trust that God is for you. And that he will do what he has already said. He has shown us how to be on guard for our very souls. He has shown us how to identify those that would lead us astray. He has promised that he will have his vengeance on those and that we shouldn't fear them. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this section of Deuteronomy. You're probably going, ooh, it's ending with the Old Testament. That. No, God has promised forever that he will protect us from those ravenous wolves. From the very beginning. Deuteronomy 18 says this. The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, That is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. You need not be afraid of him. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, holy are you and great is your name. May your heavenly kingdom come to earth through the continued work of your people, that your rule and reign would be more evident every day as you empower us to live according to your word and your will. Give us the discipline to be continually in your word, the discernment to know what is of you and what we should avoid. Forgive us where we have lacked that discipline. Forgive us where we have valued flash and novelty over the truth. Forgive us where we have taken what is easy over what is good. Show us how to forgive others who have brought such things before us because they were likewise deceived. And let us not be further tempted by such schemes of the devil. Instead, let us apply your word to our lives and walk the narrow path of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus. Protect us from the ravenous wolves and the schemes of dishonest workmen. Keep our ears alert, our eyes open, our minds sharp, and our hearts guarded. Lord, let us draw together as a church. Let us walk forward, shields at the ready, interlocked with one another. Let us grow in fellowship rather than split over doctrine, but know what is true, affirm it, and love each other because of it. Thank you, Lord. It is for your glory that we do all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
More.
I've walked with the Lord a long time. Today I feel like I need him more than ever before. I don't need him less. I need him more. Less of me, more of him. Just before we close, the team will come across the front and they'll pray with you about anything you might have need of. As they're moving into place, let's just do this. Just simply say, Lord, I need you more. Come on, say that with me. Say it out loud. Just say it out loud. Lord, I need you more. Yeah. Why don't you say that with me? Less of me. Say it with me. Less of me and more of you. People don't need more of me. They need more of Jesus. I don't feel shut this thing down just yet. Just stay with me for a moment. Just open your heart for just this moment. Just say, Lord, I just need you more. Come on, just do that with me. Just take another moment. Lord, we just need you more. Just sing that softly, sweetheart, please. Come on, just do this with me. Just come on. Lord, we need you more. We need to know you more. We need to walk with you a little closer. Lord, maybe we need to throw some things out of our lives and draw a little closer to you. Come on, sing it. Go ahead and sing it.
So much more than words can say, I need you more. More than ever before, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Sing it with us. Sing it. Help us to live this out this week, Lord. May we pursue you and draw near. Because when we do, you draw near to us. Amen, friends. Amen. If you need prayer, come and receive it. I'm going to dismiss this in just half a moment. But as you go, don't forget, if you want to find out where God wants you, join us for Engage tonight. You know, hey, sign up for the bake auction. That's going to be fun. And we still need more people to help us do the outreach this Friday night. So sign up through the app on that. Let me just dismiss you now in God's great grace. Have a wonderful Sunday. Hope to see you Wednesday. Be blessed. Go live this thing for Jesus this week. Amen? Amen. Come on. God bless you guys as you go. Need prayer? Come and receive that. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.